Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Richard, today we have a very serious topic that we're going to talk about.
Sadly.
Last Friday, a person who is very pivotal, or has been very pivotal in the awareness and acknowledgement and information in general about suicide, passed away.
Right.
But interestingly, she passed away by suicide.
By her own hand. Her father had committed suicide. Apparently there's a family history of depression. He committed suicide. After he committed suicide, she devoted her life to establishing a project that she called Project Semicolon, S-E-M-I-C-O-L-O-N, the punctuation mark.
Right.
That means there's more to come.
Right. Yeah, we've seen the memes and everything with the and pictures on online of people getting tattoos with the semicolon.
With the semicolon, right. And it's a wonderful metaphor, I think, to use for suicide prevention. And sadly, at age 31, she took her own life. So there was this article about her and her work.
And we'll I'll post a link to that in the show notes.
Right. But as we were going through it, we reached, there's a link in the article about suicide warning signs and how to prevent suicide. And we thought it might be useful to review those because this is a topic that many of us are interested in, particularly those of us raising teenagers who go through difficult periods, and the elderly who also go through some difficult times.
Which is the fastest growing demographic for those who are attempting and committing, suicide and committing suicide.
And it is the second cause of death between ages 18 and 30 or 18 and 25. Second leading cause of death, which is always a surprise. We keep reading these statistics and seeing these numbers, but it's always a bit of a shock to think that suicide could be the second leading cause of death in any age group.
So we'll talk a little bit about risk factors today, but it's always important, you know, if you have a person in your life that is presenting with any of these risk factors, it's important that you talk with them and you encourage them to get any help or support that they may need, because you know, certainly talking about it, we've mentioned this on previous shows, but certainly talking to people about suicide or asking them if they're having any of those thoughts or urges or feelings or obsessive thoughts, you know, certainly does not increase the risk for suicide or suicide attempts or anything like that. That was something that was believed some time ago, and so people were hesitant to ask or talk about suicide, and we simply now know that's just not true.
Right. It's like sex education, you know, and I think suicide and sex education and all these topics that are admittedly difficult to discuss, especially with your teenagers, especially young teenagers, neither sex education nor suicide discussions increase the risk of suicide. You're not going to plant suggestions. These are topics that you need to talk about, because if you're willing to talk about it, if your child might be considering it, or somebody your child knows might be considering it, your children are more likely to come to you because they know it's a topic that they're allowed to discuss. So by discussing it doesn't increase the risk.
So when we think about some of the risk factors, the first thing we have to look at is history. And you mentioned one with this person. If there's a family history of suicide, if there's a family history of child maltreatment or abuse, if the person themselves has a history of suicide attempts or a history of mental health conditions or alcohol or substance abuse, any of those historical experiences could potentially increase one's risk for suicidal ideation, at least if not suicidal attempts or completion.
Right. And there's a difference between the typical "I'm having a bad day" and true depression.
Right.
There's another article that we're going to present maybe later this week or next week on mental health disorders in teenagers and how you can differentiate what is normal teenage confusion or having the blues or feeling discouraged from what might be mental illness.
Right.
And so we need to make those distinctions.
Right.
Yeah, most of us go through these ups and downs, but if your child, if you become really, really concerned about the mental health of child or partner or relative, it would be a good idea to perhaps become more involved to take some action to make sure that it doesn't happen.
Right. And kind of building from that, you know, we often associate depression, those depressed feelings as being signs or a warning sign for suicide. And really, you know, when we look at these risk factors, depression isn't even listed.
Depression is, and that's an important point to make.
Right.
You know, we always tend to associate suicide with depression.
Mm-hmm.
That may not be the strongest link that we ought to be thinking about.
You know, when one of the strongest, as it relates to mental health or emotions or feelings, one of the biggest predictors is a feeling of hopelessness.
Right.
Mm-hmm. When one feels hopeless or worthless, those tend to be emotions or feelings that most are most likely to predict suicidal ideation or thoughts or attempts.
That's right. And the other thing is, if people are talking about their future, they're typically not contemplating suicide.
Right.
You know,
right.
Kids who are applying for college and planning to go, and they have plans for the future. They're talking about what they want to be, what they want to do when they grow up. These are all pretty good indicators that they're thinking about the future.
Right.
People who stop talking about the future, that might be a cause for concern.
Right. Yeah. And some other symptoms or other behaviors that you'll see in people who are perhaps at risk. And it's not any one of these individually. It's sort of combinations of these. But people who are aggressive and impulsive already, people who, as you said, you know, maybe have sort of have some of those tendencies already.
Right. Mm-hmm.
People with physical limitations oftentimes experience, you know, some of that hopelessness. And of course, people who have access to lethal means of.
Well, I was going to, that's another thing, is access.
Mm-hmm.
If there's any question at all, then make sure they don't have access. Now, if somebody is really intent upon taking one's own life, there's little that anybody can do about it.
Right.
Because there's always a way.
Right.
But don't make it easy, especially handguns. Males tend to use handguns to commit suicide. That's why their rates of success are so much higher than other forms of suicide.
Yeah. So, you know, given some of these risk factors, you know, the things that we think about when we do a risk assessment, there are certain questions that we'll ask, of course, if the person has had suicidal ideation, and kind of talk about that a little bit. As we get further down this line of questioning, that's when we start to get more and more concerned depending on the responses. So, you know, do you have a plan?
Right.
Is the plan realistic? You know, if a person says, you know, I'm going to, you know, jump off the Grand Canyon, that's not a really, unless you live
in Florida. You know.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And you, there's no plans to go to, you know, the Grand Canyon or anything like that. It's probably not as realistic. But if there's a realistic plan, and if the person has access to the means to complete that plan.
Yeah, when people, you know, if a person comes into our office and says, well, I would take pills because my mother has, you know, three prescriptions that are in her cabinet, that means there's been some serious contemplation and access. That would be a concern.
Right. Mm-hmm.
But there's another issue when we talk about means.
Mm-hmm.
But before we go to that, impulse control is another issue.
Right.
And several years ago, there were a number of articles and news stories that antidepressants might be related to suicide risk.
Right.
And I think what was, if I'm not wrong, and correct me if I am, the issue was that if you give a person antidepressants and that person has bipolar disorder, you are suppressing the depression but releasing the mania and the impulse control. And under those circumstances, a person might be more likely, because they have less impulse control, they might be more likely. So it's not the drug, it's that the drug is suppressing one thing but allowing another thing out. And so if that is an issue, that's something you may want to talk to your prescribing physician about. That it's not the medication itself that's doing it.
It's the response to the medication, because that is, manic-like symptoms are not only a side effect of depression, but as you said, if the person is presenting for the first time with a mood episode that's depressed, but they really have, you know, sort of biologically, they have bipolar disorder, then they're at risk for being sort of shifted over into a manic episode, which is going to create some problems.
And it makes sense that a person with poor impulse control might be more likely to act out on a thought. And the other thing is suicide epidemics, you know, when especially problematic in high schools, where one person commits suicide and then you get copycat suicides. So whenever there's a suicide in your community, keep an eye out for those who are at risk.
Or when a famous person commits suicide. Another, somebody who has a big fan or cult following, if that person commits suicide or does something, then there's likely to be some copycats.
Is there a anniversary of Kurt Cobain's?
It was not long ago.
Because there's a lot of literature appearing about him, and I wondered if it's he would be a famous person that others might copy. Because he was a hero, an idol among teenagers.
So yes, if you know somebody and there's some concern, if you have concern about what they're doing or what they're saying, or the concern that there may be some suicidal thoughts and tendencies, definitely talk to them, encourage them to get help. If they can't get into a therapist or a psychologist or their physician or somebody, you know, go to the hospital. I like the approach of you know, mentioning that, you know, sometimes when we feel depressed like that, when we feel down and worthless and hopeless, there are times when our brain sort of makes us think things that we wouldn't typically think. Our brain sort of defaults to that catastrophic tendencies. And so we need to get help during those times so that we don't end up doing something that we wouldn't do when we were more clearly thinking about things. So,
and you are going to post this article. And in the article, there's a link to, I think it's suicide risks.
I'm going to do both.
Oh, okay. Because there's a lot of really good information from CDC, from the Surgeon General. This is reputable, good stuff. So there are a lot of good resources in there. And we would encourage you that if there's a possibility, you might want to look at those. And if you have questions, give us a call.
Absolutely.
We'll be happy to walk you through that and discuss any of this with you.
So, all right, that's it for today. Until next time, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.